We're back, hour number two of the WPTF Weekend Gardener. Mike Rayleigh here. Brother Rufus is on the phone. Gerald Adams is here. We've been talking about all kinds of things this morning, gardening related and so forth. And you're welcome to call us at 919-860-9783, 919-860-WPTF. We were talking, I guess, at the end, a little bit there about a new variety of Raleigh, well, a new variety of St. Augustine that's sort of like Raleigh, but it's even more cold tolerant and less sunlight needed. Even.
Yeah, the Solaw, which is one of NC State's releases from a couple years ago, and Raleigh had really been about the only St. Augustine, which was an NC State release as well many years ago, that would do in our area because it was more cold tolerant. Usually other St. Augustines, you'd have to be closer to the coast and
right.
a little bit warmer.
A lot of people grow it down there.
But their whole goal when they started on this was to get a better Raleigh, and that's what they've done is even as much or more cold tolerant and can take less sun. And it really is about – right now that's on the market, the only warm season grass that you might could put in a, you know, shadier kind of situation. There's just not a zoysia. There's some zoysias that are a little better, but that we're talking a, you know, small difference, not, you know, somewhere you could put that got 2 or 3 hours of morning sun and that was it. And it's a possibility that this St. Augustine may work for that.
Hmm. Okay. Very good. Someone I saw a couple of days ago, and Rufus has seen recently, I think, Major Dave is with us. I guess you're back up there. It's a little chilly up in the mountains of Virginia this morning, isn't it?
Well, we got some snow flurries, started about 6 o'clock, but it's mostly sleet and freezing rain now.
I'll be doggone.
You try your best to keep that up there. Don't let that come down to see us.
It's going to be kind of nippy here the next few days, I think. It was so nice seeing you, Major Dave, and thanks to you and your wife for the spaghetti sauce, homemade spaghetti sauce.
Well, I hope you enjoy it.
Yes, sir.
And I want to say a thank you to Phil Campbell, too, because I got over to give a hug from her.
Yeah.
She gifted me some leftover turnip seed and rutabaga seed.
Oh.
And I've never tried either one of those, so we're going to enjoy experimenting with those this year.
Yeah. Rufus, you're not planting any turnip seeds or anything like that, are you?
Dave, and the rest of you. Be sure and plant me some kale, though, Major Dave.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think you are out of your head this morning with the grip if you want some kale.
Yeah. Okay,
Rufus, what are you going to give me to chase it with?
Okay. Accommodation on a beautiful piece of work that you left with me that is scholarly, Dave.
I have a copy, too.
It is. Now, it takes some intellect to read it, Mike. I'm telling you. I couldn't quite grasp some of it, but the man has got a genius mind.
Yeah. Well, we're thankful to have him in the military all those years.
Well, this genius mind has come up with a question I can't answer, and this one's for Gerald.
All right. Well, he another genius. Go ahead, Gerald and Major Dave.
My question is, what would be your recommendation for the next best variety of tomatoes for a meaty tomato rather than Roma's that she can use in the spaghetti sauce?
Most people use that are looking to make a sauce use some kind of Roma or paste tomato. And the paste tomatoes are basically they've got more juice in them. So that's one of the reasons that some people use that for their canning preferences. Amish paste tomato is an old heirloom variety that is still pretty popular for that. And I just happen to know somebody that will have some of those plants this year, that being me. But that's one that I get a lot requests for. I still have lots of people that San Marzano, even though some years it's a little fickle in its production, they tell me it's the best flavored of any Roma tomato there is. I've never been a huge Roma tomato fan because it's difficult to make sandwiches with them, and that's how I consume most of my tomatoes. But I can tell you that San Marzano is the number one selling Roma for me every year by far, and I probably grow half a dozen different type Roma tomatoes, and I'll have, you know, two or three different paste tomatoes as well.
Is your shop at the State Farmers Market already open now? Or
no, too early for me. I target the last week in March, and that's, of course, you know, that's weather dependent. I can't have any nights because I leave the plants there once I set up. So yeah. I can roll them under. I can stay under the shelter for a frost, but I can't handle a freeze if it's going to get below 31.
Yeah, that's kind of iffy.
31. So I look at the 15-day forecast around March 21st, and the last 3 years I have set up by the 25th of March. So I'll be close to that again this year because when I set up, I'm there 7 days a week till at least Memorial Day.
Well, that's great, and I'll plan on getting by there because, as you may recall, we tried some of those San Marzanos here last year, and they did fairly well, so I'll have to come by and get some more from you.
Yeah, I probably, and this is no kidding, I sell more San Marzano than all the other Romas combined. It's just people, and I've had people drive considerable distance to pick them up because they say that's the best Roma tomato there is.
I know what I know because I listened to the show.
Well, Major Dave, we love having you. It was so good seeing you the other day. And I want, while you're on the line, Gerald and Rufus and all of us to say a special hello this morning to Rose Rhodes, who is a little under the weather today. And she's listening right now, hopefully. And I think she is. And so, hello, Rose.
Get better, Rose.
Yeah. So, absolutely. Well, Major, thank you so much.
Thank you, Michael. We'll be in touch.
Yes, sir. Please do. Major Dave, United States Army, retired up in Virginia this morning, where it is snowing a bit in the mountains around Waynesboro. Yeah.
How you can have people in life that differ politically, but they can be the best of friends.
I know. It's a wonderful thing, and that's the way it should be.
I'm going to write a book about you and have a good along, and Major Davis is a great example.
Right.
Now, he and I disagree on some things, but we are good friends.
Right.
And we know how to get along and be friends.
Well, I hope Rose Rhodes is feeling better today, and we certainly send our love, and we've got to get you well and get Brother Rufus. But you sound right pert this morning, as my Aunt Bert used to say.
I'm on about four cylinders out of eight.
Oh, okay. Well, you're doing pretty well though. You sound pretty well. So I hope you will feel much much better this morning, and our dear Rose, too. 919-860-9783. 919-860-WPTF. Boy, I tell you, people are tomato crazy. I think you have found that out, Gerald, at, when you go out to the farmer's market.
I just finished up my article for the Spring-Summer Weekend Gardener, and part of what I wrote about was things that have surprised me that I've discovered from selling tomatoes at the market, and there have been a number of things. And part of it is I'm a big tomato bigot. I mean, most of my tomatoes I consume in sandwiches, so I'm looking a large slicing tomato. And I will eat others for a little snack, a handful, or to keep from passing out from starvation. But I've never had that much interest in small fruited tomatoes. And it has just really, really surprised me, the demand. I probably will grow 40 varieties this year of either, you know, cherry or grape or golf ball size, right, tomatoes. And I would have never thought there would have been that much demand for them when I first started, you know, getting serious about selling plants.
Mm. Wow. How about that?
Well, Carol, let me tell you something that's very good about your display. When you come out to do business with Gerald, your displays and your information and photos are very informative, and that helps people a great deal because people want to have some notion of what they're trying to grow.
So yeah, keep it. Ain't it the truth?
That had been a complaint of mine for years when I was a shopper, so that's one thing. I wanted to have a color picture showing the fruit and giving a little description about it, and it's a little for my own benefit. It makes it easier for me to find them when people ask me where something is at, too, because, you know, you got 150 varieties of tomatoes. It's kind of hard to walk right straight to them. So that has made it, you know, a little quicker for me to find them for people.
Yeah.
But I've got lots of positive feedback about that, Rufus.
Yep.
I bet so. I think we – do we have Rose Rhodes on the line? All right, why don't we belay the break a little bit and talk to Rose. Good gracious, Rose.
Yeah,
good morning to you.
How are y'all?
We're doing well. We don't want you to be under the weather. And Rufus,
well, I'm gonna get out from under it.
Well, that's good. We think about you often, and we're certainly concerned. We don't want you.
Well, thank you for that.
Yes, ma'am. Don't want any of our listeners. Our listeners are precious.
Yeah, they may be getting older and older.
That's right. That's right. Well, we all are. I'm sorry that you couldn't have joined us last weekend at Campbell Road Nursery.
Yeah, I would have loved that.
We had a big time. We sure did.
Did you buy anything?
I did not. I'm ashamed to say. I tell you what I had on my mind was an Edgeworthia. There is a Edgeworthia that is red, has red flowers.
Oh, I hadn't seen that one.
It's red something, red dragon or something like that. Uh-huh. Gerald, you know anything about an Edgeworthia that?
No.
I mean, it's not real red. It's not rose red, but it's that's what I had on my mind, and I forgot all about it. The mayhem and celebration and all that was going on out there.
So,
but there were a lot of people who were buying things, and there was a lot of eating going on, a lot of talking, a lot of patting on the back and hugging and stuff. People hadn't seen each other in a while.
Yeah.
So
one thing I wanted to tell you.
Yeah.
I want to tell the neighbors that if the Japanese maple dissects, you need to prune it by the bonsai effect. No branches going straight up or straight down.
None going straight up or straight down. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, that makes it look like a bonsai, even though it's a great big, you know, shrub.
Well, it's there have been pruning demonstrations. I know. In the last couple of weeks around, a lot of people want to do some pruning. They can see the limbs of their trees and see the shrubs.
Now.
And Blueberry, I think a couple of weeks ago they had blueberry pruning demonstration that one of our extension agents was involved in, and so a lot of things like that. That was up in Oxford, as a matter of fact. That sounded like it was a really good one. A NC State professor was handling that, and so yeah. But so you're going to get back out in the garden maybe when it warms up a little bit and you get all straightened out.
I'm looking forward to it.
I know you are, and I think a lot of people are.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I ordered some seed. Well, I got sick and gave my seed away, and I'm away. But now when I am able to get out, I'm going to be sorry I gave my seed away.
Well, that's probably true, Rose. Yeah. But that's all. You can always find some more seed somewhere.
That's right.
Yeah.
Maybe I get some of those tomato seeds.
Yeah. What's your favorite tomato? Or what do you want to try?
Well, I ordered a new one this year, but it's supposed to be gigantic and really good. It was from a seed company that I don't usually order from, so I can't remember.
Well, we've been the one we were talking about that's really popular now is Red Snapper.
Oh yeah, no, I'm not familiar with that.
Yeah,
and can you find those plants or seeds anywhere?
Gerald Adams is growing them.
He's the man, right?
He's the man.
You come see me, Rose, and I'll give you some plants, and you won't have to worry with the seed.
That's right.
Well, that is a real bargain.
Yeah, they're thank good you. Good. As long as you got big enough bread, they'll be okay. Big enough slice.
I'll get made right to make some bigger.
Now, have you ever tried? Now, I've gotten off kilter here. I eat pumpernickel and some other of those heavy grain breads make a tomato and a BLT. Gerald's having a conniption over here. I'm sure Rufus is slumped down in his chair.
It sounds like we need to have a party together.
So does that sound good to you to have pumpernickel?
Good.
Yeah.
Well, I used to use that when I was in my prime.
Yeah, right. Well, my wife likes the heavier grain bread, so I've gotten away from the Merita. A little bit into Wonder Bread for that.
I think I'll live near Merita Bakery, so it goes wrong.
I know. There used to be one across, and when I was courting Melissa, she was at Meredith, and there was a bakery. One of the bread makers had it smells so good over there. Yeah.
Was it near Mondi?
No. That's not far away, actually, but this was one of the commercial companies, like Merita or somebody.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was right across from Meredith Wonder. College. It was the Wonder Bread people? Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, it smelled good.
Well, that's good to have somewhere to buy something, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you could date and then go across the street and buy some bread.
Oh, and those dates were about 2 inches long or more.
I know. Dadgum right. Well, I'm so glad to hear from you. I'm sorry that you're feeling poorly, but a lot of people have been. This has been a year of a flu and pneumonia and bronchitis and all kinds of things.
Well, I'm going to be through with diseases, right? And be happy. No,
all right. Well, you sound good. You sound like you're doing all right. And I was surprised to hear from you, but I was glad we got a chance to say hello to you and that you're listening this morning.
Well, thank you so much.
Yes, ma'am. Well, thank you. And you have a wonderful, wonderful day, and get back on your feet.
All right. I have lots of people looking after me.
Oh, well, I bet you do.
Thanks.
Bye-bye, Rose.
Bye.
Oh, well, what a treat that was. That makes my day. So, yes, sir, Brother Rufus.
What kind of paper? You were talking about edgeworthy. What? You mentioned that particular kind of edgeworthy. What? Are there different varieties?
Yeah, there's several different varieties. I didn't realize this until I started doing a little research and wrote an article about it. But there is I don't know if it's Red Dragon or something like that. I'm going to have to look it up during the break. But there is a variety that
Red Dragon.
Red Dragon, yeah. And it is. It has red flowers.
Yeah, well, normally it's the tubular, as you know, with the white flowers, was sort of a golden.
Yeah. Interior. So I mean, it has the same shape, but it looks quite different because of the red coloring. We'll have to put Phil on the case and see if she can find them, and I'll get you one if we can find one.
Well, that's amazing. I love the thing.
I do too. They're so interesting. Yeah, Gerald. It does have a little bit of yellow in it, but it's got a lot of red.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's
looks good.
I like it a lot. So if I can come up with a picture, I'll send it to you. I'll text it to you.
You know, another plant that intrigues me, I've mentioned before, that is the fatsia.
And you're obsessed with this fatsia.
Fatsia japonica, a favorite shade shrub.
Yeah, I told Tony Avent last weekend that because you were talking about the fatsia, and I said that I've lost a couple of them. I tried planting them twice, and I didn't put any Permatil in there, I guess, because the voles got them.
Yeah, I can't kill mine.
And Tony said that you should get those voles and fry them up, because if they've been eating fatsia, then they ought to be tasty.
Ooh, I'd like to mix a little squirrel with them.
Oh, man. Squirrel and vole. I don't know about that. That's got to take my appetite this morning. I was thinking about a good hard breakfast after the show. We're going to Williamsburg today, and we're going through Nashville to get over to 95, and we're going to stop at Doug Saul's and get a barbecue sandwich. That's what I'm studying this morning.
Oh, okay.
That's a good plan, Mike.
Yeah, there won't be any squirrel meat in that. Oh, me. Yeah, so we're going to add a little slaw, maybe get a chicken leg, too, on the side. How's that sound? Or a wing.
Whew. Get you 4 or 5 wings, and you can just gnaw on them on the trip on up.
I got to have my hands on the steering wheel. I got to be real careful. And all that traffic going north. I hear there's a little bit of snow up in Virginia, too. So I don't know.
Y'all see that vegetarian snarl on my wife's face? She just heard you all talking about eating barbecue.
Forgive us. Forgive us, Linda. Please forgive us. We know not what we say. We'll be back. We'll try to figure out what we're saying here. Coming up on the WPTF Weekend Gardener. All right, we're back on WPTF with Weekend Gardener. And... yeah, I forgot what I was going to talk about. Why don't I talk about King's Auto Service? Now, I got a little trip today, so I want to make sure that my vehicle is in good shape. You're on your daily run, especially when you are riding around 4:30 in the morning going to work like I do. I want to make sure I don't get broken down on the road anywhere. And so you've got to be cognizant of your car or the human body, just like you hopefully are going to your doctor for physicals and things like that. You need to take your vehicle in too, and you can solve a lot of problems before they happen with going to King's Auto Service. And it doesn't really matter what it is. They can take a look at the whole car if you want them to. But if you should go in and this time of year or any time of year and have the belts and hoses checked and the tires and the brakes and make sure all the fluid levels are proper and oil. I know all the guys with the Independent Garage Owners Association, and King's is part of that, always really advocate changing the oil on time. And doesn't, just use whatever your manufacturer recommends, but get the oil change when you're supposed to. And they at King's Auto Service will tell you when that's best. If you have a hybrid vehicle, a lot of people do, They have certified hybrid technicians at King's that are ready to diagnose and give you available options for high-voltage battery pack replacement for less than the dealer will charge for a replacement. And this usually occurs around 150,000 miles or so. Call King's today to schedule a courtesy battery analysis. King's Auto Service, easy to find on West Street. It's 1039, kind of the northern part of West Street in downtown Raleigh, and at kingautomotive.net. King's Automotive Service, Raleigh's most reliable auto care since 1946. And I guarantee you, they are some smart people there, including the owner, Dean Bailey. And they, you know, that his relatives started this operation back in the 40s. So just like the Weekend Gardener, they're about the same age. Yeah, so they'll be 50 years old. They'll be 80 years old next year. Isn't that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How about that? Well, that's good long service to the community of Raleigh. King's Auto Service in Raleigh.
He never runs out.
What do you say, Rufus?
It's like Mike Riley, never runs out on you.
I try not to. I just texted you. I don't know if you can see this and without hanging up. I sent you a photo of a red dragon Edgeworthy abloom in all its glory.
Hmm.
Red and yellow. It's got some yellow.
Oh, I'm looking at it right now. Beautiful.
Isn't that pretty? It's so unusual.
Yeah, gorgeous.
We got to find one of those.
Yeah, that is really, that's more like a, I call that other little thing a hanging chandelier.
Yeah.
This is more like a little cluster.
Well, I don't know if it's the angle that the photo's taken or what. I don't know if it looks like a little bell or, I assume it does. I got to find some more photos of it, maybe, and see. Now it, I'm looking at another one, and it the background, I mean, the little flowers actually look red, but the stalks on the flowers kind of the background looks more a little more white on some of them, yellow on the others. But I don't know. The clusters may be bigger too. I'm not sure. Very interesting. We got to find them.
I think it's a compact plant too, maybe like 4 foot tall.
Oh, okay. Well, that's yeah, that's right. That it is. I do remember now that it is smaller. You know, a lot of plants are getting smaller now, and that helps out a lot for folks. Unfortunately, we're not able to see Irv Evans at our gathering last week, but Irv said so many things that have stuck with me early in the history of this show, like don't ever plant a loropetalum under your window. I guess you can now with some of the varieties, but still kind of chancy.
Yeah, Miss Huff's going to be 6 foot tall.
Yeah.
I was thinking Lantana. But there are some smaller ones now.
There are some smaller loropetalums.
I'll never forget, I planted Ruby one time, and it sat on there 6 foot tall, and it started slowing down when it got about 12 foot tall.
Well, there's some pretty varieties, really, really pretty varieties of Lantana and loropetalum. So it'll be a while before we see any green coming from the base of those Lantanas, I'll tell you that. This year, and I'm thinking about my banana tree, not the banana pudding tree, but the banana tree that usually gets so big. It's I'm sure it's held back a little bit this year because of all the cold weather. I wonder if we lost any insects. Have we got rid of any insects on some of those?
I hope so.
Long cold spell we had. I don't know. Well, we can only hope. So, Rufus, you say that the Professor Sargent is still blooming in your yard. What are some of the other camellia japonicas that are blooming right now? Can you think of any?
In the last two sessions we had that we've had this sort of a, what I call crossover, not knowing whether or not they're Sasanqua or Japonica. And the white one that you're talking about is right ready now to go nuts. Just go nuts. That real white one.
Oh, get by the gate.
White by the gate.
White by the gate, yeah.
Gate. And the most astounding one is that apple blossom. That thing seems all year long. It's just amazing.
That's kind of pinky whitey.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm looking to I love Wigelia. I'm sure that you all know about that plant.
Yeah, you know, there's some there are some variegated varieties of Wigelia that are gorgeous and have really deep magenta flowers, and yeah, they've come a long way with that plant. Something else I was thinking about, Rufus, was doggone it, now I can't think of the name of the plant that could be blooming now, and you have the kind of pinky, dark pink and white. You have two or three different colors, and it usually starts blooming this time of year, and they produce a kind of an apple-like fruit on them. What am I trying to think of?
Quince.
Huh?
Quince.
Yeah. Yeah, quince. You got any quince blooming?
Almost there. I'm going to go out and cut a couple stalks off today, take a hammer and smash the bottom of it, and stick them in water, and they'll bloom.
Yeah, I'm looking at white by the gate here. I just brought up a photo of it. Does kind of have a little bit of a yellow center, but not. It's just got such a pretty
bloom
on it.
Yeah, the quince is always very close to Prunus mumae. Not quite as soon as Prunus mumae,
right?
But
right.
It's a good plant when it starts budding up. Go cut a couple off, come back and put them in some warm water, and let them bloom inside.
It's a great idea. Hey, we'll come up with some more great ideas, maybe, coming up here on the WPTF Weekend Gardener. It's 9:44. Right, we're back on WPTF, the Weekend Gardener. Rufus, I've got to get a white by the gate camellia. I think I'm going to have to dig something up to do it.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to sacrifice something. But, yeah, that is just...
Always find two square feet.
Well, these things get kind of big, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, well.
About six by eight or ten.
Yeah, that says it's deer resistant, drought tolerant, full shade to partial shade. Man, you can't beat that with a bloom like that. Put that beside Professor Sargent, and you got a real showcase. They're both Japonicas, as opposed to the apple blossom, which is a Sasanqua.
I don't know. I think the apple blossom doesn't know what it is.
It just keeps on going, huh?
Yeah, right.
Well, I'll be doggone. Well, it's shaped a lot. Reminds me of a white and pink variety, a version of the Yuletide. It's kind of a single bloom there, but
yeah.
It's still pretty, still very pretty. Did you say, Joel? Did you say Carl was with us here? Carl, come on and talk to us now.
Okay. Hey, I have a giant, not a large. Fig tree, and I get nice sprigs, but I always get run over with a whole bunch of Japanese beetle. I asked my neighbor once what's going on and what I could do about it. He says, we can't do anything while they're there. You have to spray something in the wintertime on the ground, because that's where they go when they fall off the tree until next year. What's the story on that, and what should I?
Well, the Japanese beetles go into the ground. Yeah, the Japanese beetles go into the ground. I mean, I don't know necessarily where, but they do go down several inches, and you have to.
Yeah,
you have to. They could be there just to be close, but they could be most anywhere. Gerald, do you or Rufus, do y'all have any insight into that? What about pruning the fig tree? Do you do pruning every year?
Oh yes, like this is I call it a Giganticus communis bigamus.
Well, how about that? A little Latin.
35 feet wide and about that high, and I cut 3 or 4 feet off all the way around, and it grows it back. But I get a lot of nice figs, but again, once they get close to ripe, the Japanese beetle are on them, and so they're there, I guess, until they fall to the ground, and the next year here they come again. And so I was told there was something you could spray to kill them in the ground, and that'll kill them.
I would not spray anything, a pesticide around fruit necessarily, but they're
Milky Spore would be
the
best way to go at them, and that's a bacteria. And if you were just looking to do it's a little pricey, but it lasts for 10 years. So it's an old school bacteria. You put it like drop a teaspoon or something every foot apart, and that is an organic way to kill them. And put it out one time, and it will last for 10 years. That's probably the best way.
What time of year should you put that out? I think the grubs need to be closer to the surface. It used to be like May and August. You catch them coming before they come out, and catch them as they're going back into the ground.
Yeah. Right at the weather changes from there.
That's one solution. It comes in a powder, and it used to be able to find it in a granular form. But if you're just, it's something that you're going to have to not only put near the fig tree, but in your yard in general. I mean, it's like every square foot or something. So it can be tedious.
I only get them at under the fig tree and in my rose climbing rose bush.
I like to, but they're not necessarily coming up out of the ground under the fig tree. They're attracted to that, but they could be anywhere. They could be in your somewhere in your neighbor's yard too.
Okay, you said Milky Spore. How do you spell that? So I get the right thing there.
Yeah, Milky. And then spore, SPORE, and usually you're going to have to go to a for real garden center. You don't tend to see it in the box stores.
Okay.
It comes in a couple of different sizes, so figure up about how many square feet you think you need to do, and that'll help you with which size to get. But I've seen it available in two different sizes.
Yeah, and I don't know. I know Logan says had it in the past, but they are kind of, I don't know what kind of transition they're in right now, getting ready to move to the farmer's market. But you might call Logan's in Raleigh.
If Phil Campbell Road Nursery, probably doesn't have it in stock, but she can get it.
Yeah.
That would be somebody to talk to as well.
She can get you a Sherman tank. Phil can get anything. Sherman tank.
Wyatt Quarles sells it, but they only sell wholesale.
Right.
But that's someone she
can. Yeah, you don't need that much. But it can be a little tedious to put out. But
it works. And it works for – it ain't a one-year thing. It works. They say for 10 years, and I don't doubt it.
And it works by putting this pathogen into the grub, and the grub passes it along like we would the flu or something. To other grubs, and that's the way it doesn't harm anything else. It's not going to harm your pets or your grandchildren or anything.
Yeah, I was told to, I was told a couple of years ago, put it down in the wintertime before they, before it starts fruiting and all that. So sometime in spring.
Well, May and it may have changed some, but around it may have directions that say time.
I think you're looking at end of April, early May.
Yeah, they need to be near the surface one way or the other. And they're not in the winter, they're not going to be near the surface.
Yeah. Okay.
But there are pesticides that you can put out, but then you have to, you know, read the label carefully and consider pets and children and adults.
I mean, basically anything that's a grub killer, because that's the stage the Japanese beetles are at, that's what you're going to use to kill them.
Yeah. Or, as Ann Clapp used to do, you go out and pinch them, squeeze them.
Well,
get rid of them like that.
When they attack the fruit, there are millions of them.
Well, if your fig bush is that big, Carl, you need to think about building a treehouse out there, and you could be ready for them if...
You know, this thing is big as it's been in the ground probably 22, 3, or 4 years.
That's wonderful.
We've only been here 4.5 years, but I can tell it grows. It's outside, my raised bed garden is outside of the drip line, but I can tell there's little roots coming from there, and so they do real well. It grows real well, and the fruits real well,
yeah.
But the Japanese beetles really attack.
I'll be doggone. Now, I don't have problems with them getting mine. I have, birds might peck one to taste a squirrel or something, but... I those figs are precious. I just love them. They're so healthy for you, good for you.
There's a lot of people that when they fertilize their lawn, you can buy some fertilizers that have a grub killer insecticide added in with them, so you can broadcast spread it over your lawn and knock them out that way.
Just read all the directions, make sure you're putting it down at the right time, and consider other things.
I think I put some grub stuff down when I was trying to. I don't remember now. All right, that gives me a good lead. I can check that out and see where that takes me.
And make some preserves and leave it at the back door here next year.
And
appreciate that.
Notice when I pick 4 or 5 and bring them into the house. You can't leave them on the shelf. You got to put them in the refrigerator.
I know. Well, I pull them off when I go to walk late in the afternoon. I'll pick some off and take them with me on my walk. Gives me a little boost.
I just saw something that said apply between April 1st and May 30th. So you got that April-May window.
All right.
To get it down.
April-May window. Okay, good show. That's what I needed. And, again, I'll just tell it to look. This is a good start. Again, that's a nice fruit tree.
It is.
It's big. It's huge, and I cut it back. I just cut, and their arms are long enough, they reach to the ground.
Right.
And so I'm taking off the ones. There was one that broke right off. It's amazing tree, a bush, whatever you want to call it, and it appears to be well-fed because it just grows and grows. I'll cut back 3 or 4 feet all the way around, and then it's new growth coming out. Except the top, I can't do anything up there. I just let it go.
Carl, you're cutting it back now. It's a great time if you wanted to root cuttings.
They're easy to root.
Yeah, those limbs that were on the ground were rooting right there in one area.
Yeah, I bet so. My friend Rhonda Garrison says that she puts out milky spore, or did, on her fescue in Raleigh after grubs completely took it out. After she replaced the lawn, she used milky spore, and it didn't happen again, at least not while she was there. And she's ordered it online, so you can try that too. Carl, we got to go, but good luck to you.
Yeah, thanks.
Keep eating those figs, man.
All right.
We'll be back. Brother Rufus, you sit tight now. Don't get away from us. We'll be back.